So today we're joined by Michelle Boisvenu-Fox, Mesa County Library's Director. Hi, Michelle. Thanks for coming.
Hello.
Hi. So today is a little bit different. We're recording from our respective homes, so the quality of the audio might sound a little different than usual, but we hope that you understand and are patient with us. And Absolutely. We also have Emmy Ferris here with us. Hello,
Hi, guys.
Emmy.
Hello.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
We're uber social distancing right now.
Yes,
we're uber distancing.
We are. All in our respective homes.
Right.
Google Hangout.
And that means you might get extra background, you know, like dogs barking or, you know, somebody starts playing country music or whatever in the background. It's all part of the ambiance of this.
The moment I record, my dogs have to bark. No time else. But when I need them to be quiet, they'll bark.
There you go.
Yeah. I was telling Bethany and Adam while we were setting up that I went around to each room in my house to see which one acoustically would be the best for a Google Hangout podcast recording. So this is where I ended up.
Good for you.
You're dedicated. I was like, it's my room and that's just going to be that.
So. It's got a door that closes.
Yes, exactly.
So Michelle, you've had quite the first year as our director with the norovirus in the fall and now the coronavirus or COVID-19 in the spring.
It's a great way to start out the directorship, but believe me, it's a great way.
Exactly. It's like we were putting you to the ultimate test.
Let's see how she does this.
Exactly.
Watch this.
And we're also in the middle of, or we were in the middle of implementing our strategic plan, looking at how to serve our community better. And so that's definitely shifted a little bit, which I'd like to talk about later. Mm-hmm. But first, I kind of want to get your thoughts on just how quickly we went to closing. It started coming up around the beginning of March that there might need to be some shifts in how we were offering service. And then pretty quickly, we ended up having to close down. So I just want to get your thoughts on that process.
Yeah, our first managers meeting in March, which was right after the Public Library Association conference in Nashville. There was even talk then about COVID-19 at the time. And so we started like, oh, we're going to do this exercise. And it was sort of one of those mind-blowing what-if scenario exercises. And I remember the managers left that meeting and we were all sort of, you know, shocked. It was a little bit like, whoa, that would be bad. And you just sort of like, oh, that would never happen. And then it did, all of it, absolutely every scenario that we played out that day did happen. And it was, you know, on one hand, it's like, you know, that's a nightmare. But on the other hand, I think that we were really grateful to have gone through that exercise so early because it gave us time. I wouldn't say normalize it, but at least kind of get our heads wrapped around it. Like, okay, this is how we would do that. Okay, there's a way through this. There's definitely a forward and this is how we would make decisions and this is how we would work together. And it very quickly after that meeting, we moved into planning mode and we kind of figured out based on what was going around us, how exactly things were going to move along. And I remember having a staff meeting, gosh, it was probably in, it was 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago. I don't even remember now. The time has kind of collapsed on itself.
Yeah.
And it happened so fast. And I was sharing these stages with the staff and I was like, don't worry, we'll probably never get to tier 3 or 4. And now I'm like, I can't believe I said that out loud. Like that was so naive. And then looking back and going, oh, not only did it happened in like a span of like a week and a half. It just like the whole thing was like, bam, bam. And, you know, one day we had a second staff meeting and we were like, okay, if we ever get to the last tier, and like within 12 hours we were there, it was complete shutdown. And it was just like, whoa, it's been a little mind altering, so to speak. And a little, feels like a whirlwind, definitely not necessarily in a good way. I do think though that, you know, I'm very confident in the way that we pulled together and figured things out. And I think that as much as we were able to figure out ahead of time, it helped us in those last minute decisions that we had to make, that at least, thank God, we weren't having to make all of the decisions last minute, which was helpful. At least for me and my sanity. I don't know how everybody else feels about it, but
I can definitely say I found it helpful. And you also have a very close relationship with the Mesa County Health Department. So were you in talks with them before closing? Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So sort of when I started as director, I began meeting with a lot of different entities and people and started having some conversations with them around Childcare 8000 and some other projects that we were working on together. So I was definitely a partner in some other respects. And I think that when they pulled together the community team to start having the weekly meetings with, that might be part of the reason that we were included, that we came to mind that, oh yeah, we need to include the library. And you know, that's part of my advocacy in talking about the library and the service and the amount of people that we serve and are in the building kind of came to mind for them. So we were included from the first meetings and, you know, it gives us an opportunity to ask questions. I'm also finding it helpful because they are so overwhelmed and so busy. They're planning, they're reacting in different ways that we are, but they're just as busy and their minds are whirling too. So it gives us that opportunity in the meetings to be able to ask our questions and to at least put us on their radar to, oh yeah, we're going to need to address that at some point with the library. And so they're very much working with us and helping give us information and we're able to ask questions.
The information on their website is very informative. I'm not sure if we can link it in the description of the episode, but I'd recommend checking it out.
We will absolutely link it in the description.
Perfect. So in terms of goals, it's shifted for our strategic plan because we are no longer doing face-to-face contact with patrons and the library locations themselves are closed. And we could continue to see some limitations in terms of how many people we could have gathering in a space. So in terms of addressing our strategic plan, are we hoping to still uphold the same standards or are we going to look at different ways that we could still meet those goals?
So I think, you know, one of the biggest changes in the strategic plan are not our focuses, our areas of focus are what they are. I think it's the activities within them that we came up with earlier, you know, the very first of the year. And staff have been working on those since the norovirus, basically, since last November. Well, we were working on those. So some of those activities we're going to push off. We're not, you know, going to do them. We're not going to go in that direction. But some of them are still moving forward, expanding WOW deliveries, our Words on Wheels deliveries to homebound patrons. That is something that we were looking at to hopefully increase the capacity to serve more patrons. But also that we had a little bit of a waiting list in some instances, and we're hoping to possibly use volunteers to expand that. And technically that activity is still viable. We're just, it's being applied differently. Now we are more than expanding it. We are looking at who we're going to be delivering to as being a different subset. So not just at home patrons, but also others in our vulnerable population. So that's an example of an activity that while the intent originally was one thing, now it's shifted and become something different. I think you'll see that with some of the virtual programming we're doing. And when we're talking about moving summer reading online, completely online, in order to help our community with social distancing and to also adhere to any mass gathering limitations set on the library. And so by doing that, though, you know, what does that access look like? What does access to services mean in that instance? And, you know, is that curbside? How do we do craft programming virtually if people don't have the supplies at home? Can they come and get a kit before the program picked up and do that, or pick it up after and look at a recorded program? So there's lots of things we're looking at, and it's just a whole different focus on the activities, not necessarily what we're hoping to achieve with them, if that makes sense.
It does. As much as this situation is not ideal for anyone, I think it's pushed not only library staff, but patrons as well to get creative with how they're accessing and using library materials and library services. One of my favorite things is virtual story time. I do watch those and I quite enjoy them. I think it's a good way to get out of my usual funk that I have been in this period. And it's a lot of fun.
And honestly, why not? Exactly. You know, it's, you can connect to, you know, your inner child. That could be one reason. Or, you know, you can also, our staff and people who deliver story time, they're performers. There's a performance aspect of it. And so that's sometimes enjoyable too.
They're great at it for sure. Mm-hmm. So what are some things just for you, not necessarily in terms of the library, but what are some things that you're doing to maintain your mental health? I know we talked earlier about a hammock that you got.
Yeah, I went and splurged and I bought myself a hammock swing, and we have this old, in the house that we moved into this past summer, it has an old kids play fort on it with these really great, you know, hooks up high. And so I've just hooked the hammock swing onto that so I can swing around my backyard and I can, you know, it's nice and sunny out and I can look at my garden. And that's another thing. I know a lot of people have been doing that, is kind of attacking their yard projects. And I inherited a garden that needs a lot of TLC. So we've been kind of working at that. And what I thought was not going to be a priority, and I'd be doing other things and busy, I've found time to go out there and attack some things. So that's been nice. And listening to some audiobooks while I do it. I just listened to Dutch House by Ann Patchett. Mm-hmm. And Tom Hanks does the audio. And he's just has an amazing voice for audiobooks. So I definitely recommend that one if anyone's looking for a book to listen to for audio. I've been doing more baking. It's kind of stress baking, stress eating. It definitely is not going to help my waistline any, but you know, who cares? It's makes me happy. It makes my family happy. And we did come into some flour the other day at the store. So it was kind of like, score.
Oh, good.
And then my husband brought me zucchini and he kind of like a hint. So we're making chocolate zucchini bread. I have a French recipe that's more like cake. It's pretty divine. So
I believe you brought it to the library once and it was delicious.
Yes, you've probably had some. Yes, or heard about it. Hopefully you got some. But yeah, so there's that. Things, yoga, reading. I've been working on some art projects. The library is having a recycled book show coming up. So I worked on a few pieces for that. So hopefully get that in there. We'll have to figure out a way to add a virtual component to that art show.
Speaking of gardening, we still are taking care of our garden, the community garden that we have at the library. So don't worry, it's being watered. Emmy is one of those who's volunteered to go out and water occasionally. So thank you, Emmy.
There's some therapy right there, Emmy.
Exactly.
It's really convenient. My husband and I live downtown. We're just a couple blocks from the Discovery Garden, and we've signed up for a couple shifts to go down there. And actually, my 80-year-old grandfather is building me a 8-foot by 12-foot raised bed for my garden this year. And he was in the backyard, social distancing, obviously, this morning, installing it. And my neighbor, who lives across the alley, walked just up to the gate and we started to chat about it. And I mentioned to her the Discovery Garden and how Aaron and I were still going over and making sure that it was watered on the times that we had signed up to water for it. And she was over the moon about it. So even people who live just like blocks away, I'm encouraging to just go take a look at as they're on their walks. And then once we are back up and being able to safely gather, I think we're going to have a lot of people come in and really enjoy that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a special space, happy space. And there's two great benches in the garden now people can enjoy.
I have a really great story about that bench. Before, I guess it was probably the first week that we were completely, like staff weren't coming in anymore. I went for a walk with a friend and I was like, oh, you have to see these two benches that Pavia created. And she's got two dogs. And so we just walked into the garden and these dogs went nuts over that bench because they thought it was a real dog.
Oh my God.
Like they were sniffing it and barking at it. And this, like, it's a bench sized animal. Like it's not the size of, it's the size of a small horse. It was so funny. So that's hats great. Off to Pavia for a realistic expectation.
She fooled the dogs.
Yeah. She did. It was so cute.
Once it's safe to, please go check those out because they are pretty sweet looking. So for both of you, I have a question about what it's been like working from home and any tips you might have for people that are having to work at home and may be struggling. So Michelle, we'll start with you.
Well, my tip is that before you leave your real office, you should bring your office chair with you. I did not realize how much I loved my office chair until I'm working from home. And I have this gorgeous, I have a wood 1940s office desk chair that was my grandfather's. That was family heirloom thing. It is so not comfortable. Like, it's horrible. And so I'm really missing my office chair at the library. So that's definitely something I'd put on my list for the next time I have to work at home for this extensive time to, you know, I grab the plants so that they would not die, you know, and that's, it turned out to be very good because our stay home order extended. And so that was great, but I did not think about the office chair. That just did not even cross my mind. So I think that's one factor for me. I try and get up and do stretch breaks and kind of walk around the house breaks or walk out in the yard or hit my swing for a little bit during a lunch break. But that's definitely been some things I do. I have friends that work from home, and I have a friend that lives in Michigan and her job is in Washington. And now I'm like, I think about her a lot now. I'm like, how do you do this? Like,
yeah,
you know, all of these virtual meetings and, you know, some of the work even, and granted this is different times. And I imagine even for her, she works for a science company. So this is, you know, she's in for new stuff too, but yeah, I think about her and I'm like, oh, how do you do this? So it's definitely a mental thing. And not sure that I would want to work from home all the time. Maybe that's another lesson from this period is I want to be around people. I like being in the library. I like strolling out and seeing patrons and interacting with staff and people.
Yes. Well, so I saw from Michelle. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Just to tag on to that, I've seen this around and it's something I've adapted into my life is you're not working from home right now. You are at home trying to work during a crisis. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really helped things, at least in my mind, be put into place as far as like what I'm actually capable of doing. Mm-hmm. Because normally, yes, all these things that are being thrown my way, I could probably handle with some grace. But with everything that's going on around us and I think just the gravity of the situation sometimes crashing over you, you have to be able to give yourself a minute to step back and feel it. And mm-hmm. I think libraries to some extent are obviously phenomenal service, but we're not essential in the scheme of are people clothed? Are people having a roof over their head? Are they fed? So just understanding that the weight of what we offer in the grand scheme of things, it's probably okay if we're not working as hard as we normally are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's kind of been a mindset for me.
Well, and to piggy on that, to piggyback on what you piggybacked on, I'll piggyback that on you. I'm such a driven person, you know, I'm a to-do person. I'm a get it done person. And so this time for me, like sometimes I get done with a day and I'm like, you know, I worked all day, but I didn't do anything. Like I didn't get anything done. And that is crisis mode. That is working and managing, you know, meetings and people and sharing information and figuring things out. That is definitely what it means to work in a crisis and try to manage chaos as well. You know, have you thought about this? No, didn't think about that at all, but thanks for bringing it up. And now I have mm-hmm. to go figure it out. So, you know, there's definitely that aspect too of working in a crisis.
I think
yeah, for sure.
My struggle has been that my job at the library is very physical and we're moving around a lot and interacting with people a lot. And I can't do that at home. Unfortunately, in the department I work in, there's not a lot that I can transfer home to do. So it's been a lot of webinars, which means a lot of sitting, which I'm not used to with my job. So that's been a struggle for me and just a reminder that I need to be patient with myself because this is not something I'm used to, not something anyone is used to. And so it's okay if it takes me a little longer to do something or if I'm not doing 8 hours of webinars a day, it's okay. That's not expected of me. So it's just reevaluating expectations and being patient.
Right.
Yeah, I would say everybody in this virtual room right now has that expectation of themselves to do the best we can at all times and letting go of that control. Something I have been doing during this time to cope is continue to go to therapy, which has been phenomenal.
Good for you.
And that's something that we definitely touched on was if you're doing the best you can, and sometimes the best you can is just sitting on the couch and binging a show because you need to take a break and not think about everything, then that's A-okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. I've not had news on since this started. I won't watch news, period.
Yeah, no, I need a break from that. I'll look occasionally, but...
Well, and I get news through my feeds and things like that. So I am reading the news, but you think about how much you can get sucked into that and then gosh, you go to bed and you're just feeling weighted and icky. And I don't know.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, and just, I mean, Bethany, you touched on how your job is so physical, and now that a lot of that is being merged to an online platform, that's where my job overlaps. Like, I feel like I'm on the desk monitoring social media feeds all the time while still having to do the stuff that Dave left for me to do. Thanks, Dave. just like my normal stuff. And I feel terrible because I'm, on my phone checking Instagram and responding to comments. And at the end of the day, I do want to unplug, but I have 20 missed text messages from friends and family. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I just like can't respond right now. I need to detach and just go lay in the grass.
Right. Wiggle my bare toes in and chill out. Listen to the bird song.
Yeah, knowing the balance between, yes, I do have to be somewhat informed, just for my job. And, if we get a new stay-at-home order, we're being asked to wear masks, like you do have to keep somewhat up to date, but don't get sucked into that because it can be really bad for your mental health.
Definitely. Well, and I think now that we're starting to talk about plans for reopening the library, not that we have a date yet, so that makes it a little bit of a challenge, but I think trying to get staff in the mindset that, okay, when we go back to the library, it's going to be different work. It's going to be new work. I mean, Bethany, your department's going to be, doing curbside pickup and they're going to be expanding WOW delivery and figuring all this out in all these new ways and switching, changing them if they're not working out or if you think of a better way. Like, there's going to be so much like mind mold that I think we're going to be exhausted in new ways, but we're not now, and we weren't before, and it's going to be building a whole new work life and library.
Yeah, and for my department, we have, and for branches, I'm sure also, we have sort of a set way of doing things. We know how long it takes us to do circulation. We know how long it takes us to shelve a cart of holds, but now we're going to have to revisit that and kind of think about it in terms of like, this is the best we can do right now, as we've been talking about. And so I think it's going to be a learning curve for a lot of people, not just patrons, and navigating how to use the library in this new era, but also for staff. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited to try these new things like curbside and also expanding WOW. Words on Wheels. I want to see how that goes and how many people utilize it, but it will be quite a struggle at first, I think, for us, especially because we're planning right now. But as we've seen, as much as we can plan, something can change and we don't know if it's actually going to work as we thought it would. So,
and what modes of normal do we have to let go?
Exactly.
In order to give ourselves that mental break.
Exactly. Because as you've mentioned before, we may not go back to the same normal that we had. It may become a new normal. So being adaptable to that is also something that people are going to have to learn, I think, which I'm sure the library is going to do a great job of helping people. Will be very informative, either through social media or just by word of mouth, of how to use the library in this new era. Especially because there may be a point where we may only be allowed to have a certain amount of people in the library at a time. So just taking those things into consideration when people are coming to the library.
Well, and if I see people stressing out, I'm going to have to like go through the library and sing like musical numbers, like let it go, let it go.
We should just have that playing over the speakers the whole time. I think that would be a good move.
I think I've seen it mostly just on social media because that's my job, is to monitor those interactions and be the library's voice for that. But people have really shown a lot of grace for us just trying to figure things out as we go along. And especially internally with staff, like we're trying to implement a whole new level of systems and procedures. And, you know, we do have not a wide organizational structure, but there's definitely a lot of different conversations happening all at once. And I learned very quickly to not be offended if I wasn't included in a conversation that directly affected me, because I've also done that to a couple other people. And it's just because we are in that chaotic mode of we're just trying to figure stuff out. So for our patrons in particular, we miss them obviously a lot, and know that they should know that we are coming up with some stuff that we feel will be best for them and best for, you know, the library here moving forward. But just keeping in mind that we need to show ourselves that grace and expect it from other staff members. As long as the level of customer service that we have been providing doesn't change, I think that people are going to be in for a real treat when we do reopen.
Yes. Well, and I think the advice that I've always given to staff is if you are coming from a place where you are assuming that the other person has the best intention, then you're going to be okay. But if you are letting your thoughts crowd with, they're out to get me and they left me out on purpose and they don't like working with me, I knew it, like that is going to make everything negative and not make it very functional. And so kind of having that well of generosity and in how we work together and treat each other is really important now. And it was important before, but just making sure you know that we're all there for each other and trying our best.
And I think Absolutely. We're lucky with our organization in that we do have wonderful working relationships with one another. So already to start.
To begin with, And because we are in the business of sharing knowledge, that means that the people who are on staff are willing to learn and willing to grow. And for my job in particular, I've become a delegator of sorts. And knowing that I can just toss an assignment that I would normally do to a new person, and I'm like, do you have any questions? And they're like, yes, but I'll figure it out. Has been really nice. And just knowing that when we do start to implement some new things, because of where we're at, they're going to be ready and willing and maybe have taken a webinar or two on the subject in the meantime to prepare themselves.
Webinars. They're my best.
Or using lynda.com or, exactly. Or just Googling it and finding a YouTube video. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
We're still using our research skills.
Yeah. And honestly, the great thing too is there's so many library networks that we can be a part of that aren't just Mesa County as library staff, that we have been able to borrow things from other libraries, whether that be virtually, and adapt those to our, you know, current lib guides or what we're pushing out on social media. So the fact that we've got those things available to us now when people weren't intentionally keeping them close to their chest before has been really nice too, just knowing that we don't have to figure this out. Somebody else already did it.
And Michelle, you've been doing a great job of also looking at what other libraries are doing and how they're responding and using that to inform how then we are going to respond, such as with curbside. So I found that very reassuring on top of everything else that you've done for us, including continuing to pay us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Some people don't get that option.
No, so I definitely feel very fortunate that we're in that position. Yes, for sure.
So, and just also your weekly updates that you have, daily updates, actually, not weekly, daily, that you've been giving to staff over email, even if it's just something like, nothing's changed today. You know, it's nice to still have that interaction with one another and really appreciate it.
Absolutely. No, it's my pleasure. Staff asked me to do that starting a few weeks ago, and I was like, what if I don't have anything to say? And they were like, send it anyway. And I'm like, well, okay.
Here's a picture of my hammock. That's all I have to say today. Yes.
I think yesterday I was talking about my owl. So
yes, your owl in his little box.
Yes, owl box.
So for either of you, is there anything else that you wanted to specifically talk about or mention? Probably not a great idea to go into specifics right now in terms of reopening, because that'll probably change, so I'm not going to ask.
We can save that for the next podcast, maybe.
Exactly.
Another one down the road. Yeah, I think I'm just really grateful for the staff and all of their work to reshift and rethink and reimagine a new reality for the library, and to put our patrons right in the center of that, and to think about what they need and would want during this time. I know I don't have one conversation where somebody doesn't mention, you know, who are we leaving out? Who's not mm-hmm. going to get this? Who are we not connecting to? And, you know, constantly challenging ourselves. How can we have patron engagement in this time? You know, what do people need? And I think it's important. It's an important perspective to have, and it's healthy for a library. And I think we just have a really amazing team and really amazing staff that are rocking it. And they're doing great things that other libraries are stealing and copying.
I would say for me, I'm extremely extroverted, and my husband is extremely introverted. And for him, in this time, his daily routine hasn't changed all that much. And for me, not that I'm going stir crazy, but I do have to make sure that I get out of the house and go for a walk or a hike. I'm FaceTiming with either like my sister or one of my friends somewhat daily. And the staff Google Hangouts that we've been having have been really nice, because people who I love seeing every day, that's not an option anymore. So for those listening, I would encourage you just to do what you need to do to navigate this time. And that's probably going to look a lot different than your partner or your neighbor or your kids. So I would plug some Mesa County Library resources right now to encourage you to make that connection to yourself and to others the best way you can right now.
Well, and one way that our library staff are taking care of each other, Emmy, you mentioned that Google Hangouts that we've been doing socially with library staff, but also the buddy system. We've all kind of adopted each other, one of each other, and calls and check-ins and how you doing and what's going on and how'd you spend your day. And I've also heard that's expanding. Some people are adding buddies to their buddy lists. So their system is expanding. So I think that's been a really good, healthy thing too, to check in on each other. And it is hard. Some days are harder than others.
It's hard, but it's also really rewarding that internally we're still meeting our mission statement of learning and connecting. We're just getting really creative about how we do it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And creativity is a survival technique.
Yes.
And it'll make it all the much better when we finally get to see each other in person again.
Be like, with masks on our face.
Group hug. Yeah.
With masks on our face.
Exactly.
But it will be good to see each other. Yeah.
Well, thank you both for joining me today. Thank you to our producer, Adam, who is doing great work recording this. And we'll make sure we'll get it out for everyone. And look forward to hopefully talking to both of you again in the future.
Thanks, awesome. Bethany.
Thanks, Bethany.
Thank you.